Good afternoon, everyone, for WRCO News. I'm Todd Coppernall. Sarah Rodriguez has ended her campaign for Wisconsin governor. Earlier this week, Rodriguez terminated her campaign manager, Kara Spencer, citing serious mismanagement and inaccuracies in campaign finance reports, including missed deadlines and duplicate contribution listings. The campaign is currently working with the Wisconsin Ethics Commission to perform a full audit and correct the filings. Today, Rodriguez withdrew from the race with the following statement. I want to start by thanking my family and every single person who showed up for this campaign over the past week. Your support has meant more than I can put into words. As we have continued to dig into our financial reports, it has become clear that there are issues that would be an ongoing distraction, not just for this campaign, but for the primary and for Wisconsin. This race is too important to Wisconsin to let that happen. I am deeply hurt and betrayed by what happened, and I said on Monday, part of being a leader is taking swift action, doing the right thing, and being as honest as possible when there's a problem. I got into this race because I wanted what was best for Wisconsin. That hasn't changed, and because I believe that, I cannot in good conscience allow these questions to become a cloud over an election that Democrats need to win. Wisconsin deserves better than that. This was never just about any one race or any one candidate. This is about protecting Wisconsin from a legislature hell-bent on putting corporations over schools and insurance companies over patients. It's about showing the rest of the country that we can win here, govern here, and fight for the middle class, and that Wisconsin will lead the way. To everyone who showed up, knocked doors, made calls, and believed in what we were building, don't stop. Wisconsin has always been a place of resilience, where everyday citizens show up and accomplish extraordinary things. Better days are ahead because of people like you. Let's keep fighting. I'll be right there with you. The Richland County Board of Supervisors is scheduled to meet for its regular monthly session Tuesday, July 21st at 6 p.m. The meeting will take place in the county boardroom on the third floor of the Richland County Courthouse. One of the primary items of business involves a resolution to create a specialized committee tasked with assisting in the formation of an Emergency Medical Services, or EMS, district. This initiative follows ongoing discussions regarding regional emergency response medical systems and efforts to ensure sustainable coverage for the area. In addition to public safety infrastructure, the board will consider a resolution to officially change the name of the Public Safety Standing Committee. Administrative updates are also central to the meeting, with supervisors set to vote on the creation of a new economic support lead position. The board is further tasked with confirming several key appointments, including a new ambulance service director and appointments for county supervisory districts and various boards and commissions. These leadership roles are vital for maintaining the continuity of county operations and public services. Legislative actions regarding county property and financial grants round out the agenda. Supervisors will review a resolution to transfer land and water conservation fund grants and property to the Richland School District. Other resolutions concern the 2026 computer and hazmat equipment grant, repairs to the Tri-County Airport roof, and the cancellation of stale tax certificates and county checks. Finally, the board will deliberate on several ordinances related to specific land parcels throughout the county, including parcels in the towns of Buena Vista, Ithaca, and Orion. This meeting is open to the public. Megan M. Strait of Lafarge, formerly of Richland Center, is currently facing a complex legal situation across multiple Wisconsin counties following her arrest by the Richland Center police. Her legal challenges span Richland, Vernon, and Sauk counties, involving a wide array of criminal charges and civil proceedings. In Richland County, Strait is involved in an active eviction case, while also facing criminal counts of retail theft, possession of methamphetamine, possession of THC, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Her Richland County cases further include multiple counts of felony bail jumping. The legal issues extend significantly into Vernon County, where she faces numerous charges across multiple case filings. These include counts of forgery, forgery uttering, and theft. Additionally, she's charged with both felony and misdemeanor bail jumping in the Vernon County Circuit Court. Meanwhile, in Sauk County, Strait faces further prosecution for forgery, misappropriating identification information to obtain money, and felony bail jumping. Across all jurisdictions, many of these charges are classified as felony H or felony I, reflecting the serious nature of the allegations. Despite the volume of charges, current court records indicate she does not presently owe any outstanding court debts as these matters remain open or in the filed-only stage. Strait's next court date is in Richland County, July 27th, for the eviction case. The Village of Spring Green will hold a village board meeting Wednesday, July 22nd at 7 p.m. The meeting will take place in the Spring Green Village office. Community members have the option to attend the proceedings in person or participate virtually through the provided digital link. The agenda features several significant items for consideration, beginning with a consent agenda for routine matters such as the financial report and operator licenses. Under old business, the board will discuss and potentially take action on an update regarding the abatement of the property at 433 West Madison Street. New business items include a resolution authorizing the issuance and sale of up to $3,050,154 in Water System Revenue Bonds, Series 2026, and the approval of the related financial assistance agreement. Additionally, the board will address land acquisition matters for the WISDOT U.S. Highway 14 construction project and consider amendments to Section 3.10.02 of the SR1 Village Special Design Review District overlay. Leah Stewart has been missing since July 4th, 2023, after she was last seen on 19th Avenue between 43rd and 41st Streets near Mauston. According to reports, Stewart was visiting a friend's home when she allegedly walked out of the residence at approximately 1:15 p.m. without her shoes, her mobile phone, or her cigarettes. These personal items were later returned to her parents' home by the individual she had been visiting, raising immediate concerns regarding her sudden departure. Her family remains steadfast in their belief that Stewart met with foul play. They argue that she would never have intentionally left behind such essential items or voluntarily ceased all communication with her loved ones. As the investigation continues, the Juneau County Sheriff's Office has renewed its appeal to the public, seeking any information that might help resolve this endangered missing person case and bring answers to her family. Please contact the Juneau County Sheriff's Office if you have any information pertaining to the whereabouts of Leah Stewart. Boaz Fun Days will be held tonight through Sunday at the Boaz Community Park. The event gets underway with the Boaz Lions Club Fish Fry today at 4:30. Other activities will also be held this evening, including music. Jean Hicks is president of the Village of Boaz.
We changed things up a little bit this year. We do have a pool Friday night, and that's our American Mini Poolers. But we also have a newcomer singer, and I can't wait to hear him. It's Mark Zelinskik. I talked to him, and he does a great job. He brings a little of the soft rock music and country. So that's going to be entertainment starting at 9 o'clock Friday night. So it should be really good to hear him.
Tomorrow, there will be a full slate of activities starting at 7 o'clock with a great meal hosted by the Boaz Lions Club.
The Lions, they put on a pancake breakfast. Then after that, we go to the antique tractor pull. To me, I always say pull it off the field and pull it on the track. So that's basically what that's going to be. And then this year, Vicki Randall is actually putting on a cornhole tournament. So bring a partner and come there. Sign up is at noon on Saturday, and 1 o'clock starts the tournament. So that should be pretty exciting.
In the evening, Southwest Pullers gets underway at 6 o'clock. Donnie Rasak will also be performing, and fireworks will be shot off. Sunday morning features the Mill Creek Saddle Club, and a delicious chicken barbecue will be served. Both start at 11 o'clock. All weekend, there will be softball tournaments, face painting, bounce houses for the kids, a 50-50 raffle, and more during Boaz Fun Days. Tonight through Sunday at Boaz Community Park. Please, no carry-ins at this event. The 78th annual Casanova celebration is being held today through Sunday at Casanova Memorial Park. Activities are underway with the third annual Take Your Burger to Work Day. It began at 11. It runs until 1 o'clock. I think I could get behind that. Tonight, the Casanova Reds will face the Mazamani Mustangs in Home Talent League Baseball starting at 7:30. And Swing Crew will perform at 8:30. Tomorrow morning, a pancake breakfast will be served from 7:30 until 10 o'clock. The Tracy O. Jennings Memorial Scholarship 5K run and 1 mile walk, a free kids fishing contest, and a 3-on-3 basketball tournament all get underway at 8 o'clock. A grass volleyball tournament begins at 10 o'clock. Luck of the Draw Bags tournament will be held at noon, and pasture golf will start at 2 o'clock. In the evening, Gem City Sideshow takes the stage at 8 o'clock, and there will be a fireworks show at dusk. Sunday, the parade steps off at 11 o'clock. A flamingo race will be held at noon. A Kinshi pedal pull will be at 1 o'clock, and the Casanova Reds will take on Lodi in Home Talent League action at 2 o'clock. The weekend also features free bounce houses, a scavenger hunt, raffle, food, refreshments, and more. Enjoy great fun and entertainment at the Casanova celebration today through Sunday at Casanova Memorial Park. The Grant County Sheriff's Office reports. Wednesday, a 14-year-old girl was reported missing from Riverside Campground in Muscadet. After an extensive search by the Grant County Sheriff's Office and the Muscadet Fire Department, the juvenile was located approximately 2 hours later east of the campground and was reunited with her family. In a separate incident on Thursday, a 38-year-old Dubuque man, Zachary Carr, was arrested following an attempted vehicle theft at a residence on Eagle Point Road in Jamestown Township. Deputies discovered Carr had crashed a BMW into a gate before attempting to steal a Lexus at the property. Carr was apprehended while walking on Sandy Hook Road and faces charges including theft of a motor vehicle, operating while under the influence, criminal damage to property, and trespassing. Later that same day, a two-vehicle crash occurred at the intersection of Highway 35 and 61 and 129 in South Lancaster Township. The collision involved a vehicle driven by 74-year-old Sheila Vella and one driven by 41-year-old Cody Marnes. The investigation determined that Vella turned into the path of Marnes, causing the crash. Marnes was evaluated at the scene while Vella was transported to Grant Regional Healthcare for care. Vella received a citation for failure to yield the right-of-way. In a Thursday press release, Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reported, Friday, July 10th at approximately 1:30 p.m., emergency services responded to a fatal two-vehicle collision on State Highway 35 in the town of Bergen near Stoddard. Preliminary investigation by the Vernon County Sheriff's Office indicates that 48-year-old Aaron J. Malin of rural Genoa was traveling north in a 2010 Mazda 3 when he turned onto the highway from Mohawk Valley Road and crossed the center line. His vehicle struck a southbound 2018 GMC Yukon operated by 45-year-old Adam John Sutter of Prairie du Chien. Both drivers were extricated from their vehicles by the Stoddard-Bergen Fire Department and transported to Amplify Health in La Crosse with injuries. A passenger in the Yukon was reported uninjured. Tragically, Aaron Malin succumbed to his injuries and passed away at the hospital on the evening of Saturday, July 11th. Adam Sutter was treated for his injuries and subsequently released. Numerous agencies provided assistance at the scene, including the Vernon and La Crosse County Sheriff's Offices, the Genoa and Shelby Fire Departments, and Gunderson Tri-State Ambulance, with specialized support from the Wisconsin State Patrol Technical Reconstruction Unit. Sheriff Roy Torgerson expressed gratitude to the first responders and construction crews who assisted with traffic redirection during the 5.5-hour highway closure. The incident remains under investigation by the Sheriff's Office and County Coroner Betty Nye. The Lower Wisconsin State Riverway Board held its regularly scheduled meeting in Muscadet July 9th, marking several significant developments for the smallest state agency in Wisconsin. Executive Director Mark Cupp announced that Governor Tony Evers has reappointed two key members to 3-year terms. Gretchen Gigi Labood, representing Sauk County, and Laura Zakowski Higgins, representing Crawford County. Labood, who currently serves as the board chair, brings extensive experience in habitat restoration and botany, while Higgins, a corporate attorney, continues a family legacy of service on the board following the passing of her father, Jim Zakowski. In addition to leadership updates, the board addressed natural resource management by issuing a timber harvesting permit to Julie Van Cleve on behalf of the Department of Natural Resources for a parcel in the town of Marietta. This specific harvest is planned for dry or frozen ground conditions to protect the landscape and will utilize various cutting methods to establish an uneven aged stand of trees. Cup also noted that several other permits had been issued recently, including three for DNR timber harvests in the Mazamani and Blackhawk units, as well as general permits for a shed and a barn dominium in the town of Troy. The meeting also highlighted the continued success of the board's public outreach through its Voyager replica canoe trips, led by Cup with assistance from board member Rich Ten Paz and seasoned paddlers from the Friends of the Lower Wisconsin Riverway. These excursions have seen record popularity. This year, approximately 140 passengers participated, many of whom were first-time paddlers. These trips provided unique opportunities to view the valley's diverse wildlife, ranging from eagles and swans to deer swimming between islands. Looking ahead, the LWSRB is scheduled to meet again September 10th at 5 p.m. in Muscadet, with a virtual attendance option available for the public. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development recently released preliminary estimates for June 2026, highlighting a period of steady growth and robust participation in the state's labor market. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, Wisconsin's employment reached 3,030,100 people, marking a notable increase of 6,000 over the month and a substantial rise of 16,600 compared to the previous year. This growth is further evidenced by the state's labor force participation rate, which ticked up to 64.5%. This figure remains a point of strength for the Badger State, sitting 3 percentage points higher than the national participation rate of 61.5%. Simultaneously, the total number of non-farm jobs in the state climbed to 3,041,000, adding 2,400 positions since last month. Wisconsin's unemployment metrics continue to outperform national averages. The state's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate settled at 3.3%, which is 0.9 percentage points lower than the national rate of 4.2%. These statistics underscore a competitive and expanding economic landscape for Wisconsin workers as the summer season progresses. According to Senator Howard Markline, the state has recently undertaken a series of significant initiatives aimed at lowering health care costs and expanding access for all Wisconsinites. A primary pillar of this effort involves a substantial investment in the state's hospital system, with nearly $1 billion in annual resources secured through state programs and federal matching funds. These funds are designed to bolster the infrastructure that serves as the backbone of the health care system, ensuring that facilities, particularly those in rural districts, remain viable and well-equipped. To address the financial burden on individuals, the Wisconsin Healthcare Stability Plan continues to play a vital role in keeping insurance premiums on the individual marketplace between 10% and 15% lower than they would otherwise be. By investing in an additional $35 million into this program, the state aims to encourage insurer participation and provide consumers with more diverse and affordable choices. Furthermore, the enactment of the APRN Modernization Act represents a long-awaited milestone, empowering qualified registered nurses to practice to their full scope and significantly improving healthcare availability in underserved and rural communities. Transparency and consumer protection have also been prioritized through legislation that codifies hospital price transparency requirements into state law, ensuring patients remain informed about service costs regardless of federal regulatory changes. While some efforts, such as the PBM reform known as Coles Act, are still in progress, they underscore a commitment to protecting local pharmacies and reducing prescription drug costs. Combined with expanded Medicaid postpartum coverage and supported screenings for high-risk women, these initiatives form a comprehensive strategy to make healthcare more accessible and affordable throughout Wisconsin.